This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
They called her number 146. Maybe you know the sting like razor blades. Maybe the desire to disappear, it resonates. Maybe you too know the feel of forgettable. That ache that lingers inside you like the taste of a last cigarette on the tongue, like the pain in your body because the work is never done. Maybe you know the sound of your dreams being crumpled into the dollar in someone else's jeans, like when your parents or your friend or the man down the street tried to pimp your self-esteem. At first, they called you pretty, then they called you weak. Good for nothing, never be worth much. Every syllable in your beautiful name and the story behind it exchanged for slurs. They've broken down your spine, sanded down your shine, and branded you with their labels. Next, they'll put you in a box to put you on the shelf, hoping you'll be picked before your expiration date, but your soul is not damaged goods. We won't be fooled by those who only care about us long enough to make money off us, make us packageable, profitable, those who treat people like products, turning children into chattel, the vulnerable into victims. And maybe you've been told you deserve this, that this is all you'll ever get, so shut up and be happy. Be happy somebody wants you. But you will not be happy with bare minimum. You will not be bought and sold at a discount. Don't count your past against you. A few mistakes just gives your skin that human hue, that hue that says, I've been put into dark places and did not stay there. So don't dance in their dark rooms. Don't pose for their cameras, because your portrait's worth 1,000 words. All more beautiful than the ones you were told. Irreplaceable, unconquerable, unstoppable. You might be fractured, but unlike a fraction, you cannot be reduced. Tell them. My life is not mathematics. I'm not a statistic, not a hashtag, not a price tag. I am not a number. I have a story. A story that includes love. And survival is just the beginning. I don't have all the answers or any easy solutions. And I don't really know how this ends. But your story is yours. It's what's behind the eyes and cannot be commodified.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Speak Easy, your go-to program that speaks easy about poetry. I'm your host, Sheena Barden, a host who's very happy to say this to my producer, Tina Carmelia. Welcome back. Now, earlier, we listened to the searing poem, Not a Number, by the American spoken word poet, Alizia Nicole Harris. The last two lines from that piece, which go something like this, but your story is yours. It is what is behind the eyes and cannot be commodified, opens the door to our topic today, which is the transformative power of the arts, be it in its verbal or its nonverbal form. Now, as part of the arts, poetry, too, is a means to give a voice to the voiceless, to bring into light stories that are left in the shadows, as well used as a tool that one uses to highlight forms of inequality and participate in social movements that ultimately aspire to change a system that more often than not prioritizes the privileged while sidelining the marginalized. Now, of course, this brings us to the latest project by Project Liberate, a Malaysian nonprofit organization that aims to educate and raise awareness of the public on the anti-human trafficking cause. Together with the International Labour Organization, under the 50 for Freedom campaign, they produced Between Two Worlds, a video that features a collaborative performance between a poet and a domestic worker come a pianist. Now, joining me in the studio today to talk more about this project are three guests who were involved in making the video a reality. We have Hairuddin Maznin, who is the project coordinator for the International Labour Organization. We have Rizalinda Miranda, who is a brilliant musician, I might add. And of course, spoken word poet Nazrin Mohammad, who performed and wrote the piece Between Two Worlds. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Speak Easy.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure.
How is everyone feeling in
excited.
The studio today? Excited.
Excited.
Great. Now, if you're all excited and you're pumped, then perhaps we can start our discussion right away by talking about the issue that is addressed in the poem, which is forced labor. Now, I did a bit of reading on the International Labour Organization, which Hairuddin, of course, you are the project coordinator here in Malaysia. Now, what was the main intention behind this particular project?
Our project under the International Labour Organization is called From Protocol to Practice, a Bridge to Global Action on Forced Labour. It is also known in Malaysia as a Bridge Project.
Okay.
Yeah. This project is funded by United States Department of Labour. And besides Malaysia, this global project currently being implemented in Nepal, Niger, Mauritania and Peru. Through this spoken poetry, we want to raise awareness about forced labour issue, the hardship migrant workers endure to work in Malaysia, and to have a strong message to call for action for individuals and also policymakers to do something to prevent this from happening. This spoken poetry addressed the issue linked to forced labour related to our unfair recruitment practices, bad working and living condition, passport retention, insufficient legal protection of domestic workers and migrant workers, among others.
What is 50 for Freedom? What was the whole idea and concept behind it?
Okay. The 50 for Freedom campaign is a global campaign of the ILO to have 50 countries to ratify the important ILO forced labour protocol that Malaysia has not ratified yet. 36 countries have already ratified, and in Asia, we only have 2 countries that already ratified, that is Sri Lanka and Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Ratification of this protocol shows a strong commitment to prevent forced labour, protect and provide access to remedies for the victims and punishment for the perpetrators. Malaysia has ratified the older convention on forced labour, which is Convention 29, but this convention does not elaborate the measure to address forced labour. It is high time for the government to consider ratification of this Protocol 29 and also the recommendation on the supplementary measures for addressing forced labour. If widely ratified and implemented by ILO member countries, the protocol and recommendation promise to act as catalysts for achieving the vision of world without forced labour. The 50 for Freedom website gives a platform for victims, champions and also public to share stories on forced labour. On the website, you can find stories, the real stories from the victims, stories of hope and change, stories about the work of the champions and advocates, as well as latest update on the 50 for Freedom campaign. You can sign up to the 50 for Freedom campaign to show your support and share the hashtag 50FF through social media, write, talk, and create some noise about it.
Okay. I mean, when I was looking through the website, I definitely noticed the heavy emphasis of voice as well as storytelling. Now, I saw a few familiar champions in there. They are actors, and then they retell the story of the victims themselves. However, when it comes to Between Two Worlds, the approach is a little bit different. You actually have a creative collaboration. So as part of ILO, who collaborated with Project Liberate, how did the idea come to do something like this?
Actually, when we were conceptualizing this thought of a song on forced labor, then we thought that Nazrin came up with an idea to perform of this poetry, spoken poetry. And we were blown away, actually. We knew that spoken poetry will be the best method to convey the message that we want to convey. When we wanted to be creative in this way, we discussed with on forced labour, we realised that there are needs to be collaboration between Malaysians,
mm-hmm,
and also migrant workers. That's why we have Nazrin and also Riza here collaborated together. to send a message that unites between us, the local, and also migrants in promoting workers' rights in the best way to tackle issues on forced labor and trafficking. This also highlights the fact that Malaysians and migrant workers often live in two separate bubbles, despite interacting on day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. We wanted to bring the two together and showcase their talents too. In this aspect, we include migrant workers and also the local people, and we share the content and the stories together.
Okay, yeah. Really nice. So Nazrin, are you part of Project Liberate, or like how did that work? Because as Hairuddin mentioned, like you suggested that using spoken word poetry.
I'm not explicitly in Project Liberate, but I've known about them for some time because I've known Sushen from a few years ago. But basically, the creative relationship started when they invited me for another event previously, which was also regarding raising awareness about issues through creative platforms. But for this project per se, because of that initial collaboration, so they knew that I could maybe do a decent job at, you know, conveying issues through spoken word. And yes, actually, in the beginning, they wanted to make a song. And I'm not that great of a musician. I write poetry, but I'm so glad they didn't make me sing, because this wouldn't happen maybe if they got me to sing in the video instead. But thankfully, when I did come to that meeting with ILO and Project Liberate, when I presented the draft, they were welcoming of that change. Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting story. Now, coming right up after the short break, I'll be talking to Rizalinda Miranda, as well as Nazrin Mohammad, whose poetry and music made In Between Worlds what it is now. You are listening to Speakeasy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Speak Easy. I am Sheena Bahardin, and in the studio with me today are Hairuddin Masnin, Project Coordinator for the International Labour Organization, and the two artists featured on Between Two Worlds, Rizalinda Miranda and Nazrin Mohammad. Now, one of the things as a spoken word poet who has been doing it for quite a while, I'm such a strong advocate for creative collaboration. Not only we're talking about two poets working together, but definitely when it comes to involving different kinds of artists of different kinds of specializations and mediums. And Between Two Worlds is essentially storytelling, how I see it. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I see it as storytelling, one that involves bridging two stories and having a musical composition as its backbone. So I want to talk about the music, because Rizalinda Miranda, your music definitely made the video what it is. Like, for sure, there are words to communicate the sort of stories, but to be able to communicate a story without using words, I think that's completely a different realm of expertise altogether. How was your reaction when you were approached to do this project? Were you happy? Were you anxious?
My tandem with Nazrin Mohammad was a very enjoyable endeavor. I played the piano while Nazrin performed the spoken poetry. The whole process allowed us to build good working relationship and even friendship. Nazrin is like a son. He is a very passionate artist. I, myself, am active in our church choir as the pianist and also as a choir master. And I am glad to lend my talent to this project. I am also a migrant workers co-organizer with AMPO.
Okay. So how long have you been playing the piano?
15 years.
15 years. And is this your first time being featured on a project such as this?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Yes. You know, this is really great. Now, while for Riza, this is her first time being on this sort of a project, but for Nazrin, this is not your first time, because I've watched that video, spoken word poetry video that you did with Elaine Foster called Dear Bully. Yeah. So how was the experience different for this particular project?
I guess for this one, it was a much more meaningful process, because I had the opportunity to explore stories of people experiencing the issue more. And so I just want to thank also other NGOs who have been working in this space, like Tenaganita. They had an exhibition, and from that exhibition, actually, Riza was there on that day. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know she was there at the same venue performing. That was before we got connected. And I got to read some stories from that exhibition. Mm-hmm. And aside from that as well, reading from the 50 for Freedom website. So the different inputs, for me, it somehow was on another level in terms of visualizing the issue, and to think that this is something that has been, you know, an issue or has been present in my own country where I'm from. And it's something that I have been maybe walking past every day. You know, there are people who are going through situations of forced labor, and it's very easy to ignore them, right? And when I was invited to work on this project, it was a trigger for me to start to notice and to start to educate myself more. And I do really feel the impact that it has on my life. Like it's made me maybe pause more when I meet different people or hear about different stories.
And how many times did the two of you meet to work on this piece, Riza?
Like 2 times.
Twice?
Yes.
Right, and how long was the project as a whole, Hayruddin?
The project is 2 years project. We started in the June 2017, and we're about to conclude the project. But there is a possibility that we might get extension until September 2020.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay, so the whole project takes about 2 years and perhaps an extension of it as well. However, when it comes to composing and writing, how long did it take?
I can't remember the exact date, but it must have been a few weeks ago, Hayruddin?
I think
months.
Months
ago. Yeah, time passed.
Yeah, it took us about 2 months to really come out from the idea until the video production is, yeah.
So it's not just two artists working together, but it involves discussing in the group as well.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. There was a lot of going back and forth because we really wanted to make sure that the piece was reflective of the issue. Mm-hmm. So with the expertise from ILO and Project Liberate and input from me and Riza, that's how the video came about. But I do want to highlight one thing was that, okay, we actually met very few times before before going to record the video itself. And why is it so? Because we're just regular people with regular jobs. You know, we didn't have time to go and meet each other every day. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what makes the video special as well, that the message in the video itself is one thing, but the fact that we are actually ordinary people, right? And it only takes ordinary people to help with an issue like this. And hopefully, just as the production of this video was a trigger for us to educate ourselves more and to try to do more for this, we hope as well that this video can be a trigger for people out there, ordinary people like us, to also educate themselves more and also try to find out ways that they can help out just in little ways.
Right. I checked out all of the videos for the campaign, the 50 for Freedom, right? And I went through all of them, and yet I felt that the most poignant one of them all is definitely the video that all of you have produced. Wow. And I think it's something because of the fact that I could relate it much more. It's always nice to see someone that you know is from the same country, from the same context, the sort of story that perhaps you have heard whispers of, but not really hear it firsthand in this case. So how did it go? I mean, did the music come first? Did the words come first? How is that like? Did you write the music first, Riza?
No, not actually, but mm-hmm. we composed it in the music, the sound, the notes.
If I may add, actually the script come first.
Okay.
So we prepare the script, you know, after Nazrin explain what the script is all about, and he actually recited without the music, and then we bring in Reza to actually compose the music.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I had to justify the medium because they wanted a song in the first place. Yeah. there was a bit of like a convincing that needed to be done. Because they wanted a song and like spoken word, come on, what even is that, right? But for me as well, I really believe that this medium can be a lot more impactful because it's more of like a conversation, even though it's only my voice in it. Mm-hmm. But I tried to make it in a way where it would be like I was speaking to someone, right? And regarding, it was a back and forth a lot. Yeah. Like, I don't actually remember the exact steps. It was all a blur. I have really bad memory.
Nazrin and Reza brings the life to the script.
Okay.
It's when we first read the script, it was really dry, you know? Nobody wants to read the script.
Right.
But when we bring Nazrin and we bring Reza together, that's where it can become lively and there is a soul in it.
Actually, the first time I submitted the script through Project Liberate, I received a lot of comments, like a lot of suggestions.
Was it bleeding? Edits, your whole script is
requests
bleeding.
Requests for changes, all right. This, right? And then like, thankfully, when we did beat them, they were like, okay, forget about the request for changes. We like it. Please go ahead.
Right. I mean, because the piece itself, when I was listening to it, I do notice what you meant by the fact that you have a few voices in there. It's your voice and it's someone else's voice, and yet you're still having a conversation in there. And it's not something that you tend to see in spoken word poetry, because usually spoken word poetry is about your own story, your own experiences in this life. And here you somehow managed to bridge between one person and the other. And you did say that you have a really bad memory, but Nazrin, how was it difficult to do that?
I think the challenge was more about, I felt the responsibility. Because I, as a creative, was assigned this task, was offered this opportunity, but I didn't live through these things, right? Mm-hmm. And I speak about this in the piece itself, but just because I didn't live through it exactly doesn't mean that I'm not capable of speaking about it. And so it was more about, okay, like, what should I mention? What should I include? Because I really wanted to make sure that I tried to include as many perspectives as possible. So within the script itself, you can tell some parts were focusing on someone going through that journey of being tricked into forced labor. And mm-hmm. there's also a part about a Malaysian person, right? Like there's a part where I was maybe speaking to the Malaysian person, like someone not going through forced labor. And there's also a part towards the end where I tried to appeal to them instead. And this is coming from, I guess, reflection, because I think all of us, we can think of some points in our lives that have, have included elements of forced labor. And the challenge was more about, I want to connect them to things that I've actually experienced, even if not directly. And what did help in that process was being connected to Reza. And again, like, we unfortunately could not meet so often before the video was produced. Actually, I think we're going to meet a lot more now. Like, the relationship is only starting. But also, in my residential area, there are migrant workers mm-hmm. working, right? And a lot of security guards in Malaysia don't have off days. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is inhumane, right? And if you speak to any security guard and you ask them, when's your off day? You say, no off days. Like, and just realizing that, like, this is part of that problem,
mm-hmm.
that helped with the words, you know, that helped to let the words flow into the script, like, when I reached that point. So it was more about, how can I fit everything into one piece? I had to cut down a lot, actually, in the piece, yeah.
Again, the reason why I'm coming back to that whole idea of collaboration, it almost felt as if, even though Reza, in this case, did not have any words in there, you were just playing music, but it felt like she was doing poetry of her own. And whenever you had pauses in between your words, she filled it in. And it does reflect a little bit about how we live, you know, especially in our community, in our society, where we are aware, we see, and yet we choose to ignore. So, and there's also the idea of a language barrier as well. And yet music, as the universal language, can definitely transcend all of that. And without the music in this piece, I wouldn't feel that it would have had as much of an impact as it did for me. So, Reza, How did you feel listening to your music when you watched that video?
It was important to have a good music that matched the mood and the delivery of the poetry. So Project Liberate helped come up with a music arrangement that is perfect for the poem.
Okay. All right. And for you, Nazrin, when you first watched the video, how was your response to that?
I think because we prepared, you know, the music, the recording of the audio separately, so I didn't have an idea of what the final output would be like. But when the video was out, I just felt relieved and proud. Like, looking back, you know, with the assistance from Project Liberate, ILO, Riza, we managed to come up with a piece that I can say that I am proud of. And the emotions change from slight anxiety, nervousness, to relief, to hope. To hope that this piece will reach more people and help them to also feel that motivation to learn more about the issue and potentially do something about it.
I am proud that I am a part of it. I think the overall outcome was more than what we expected. It is heartfelt. It touches people and challenges them to take action.
And the thing is that the video is not only for those who are not aware of the situation, but somehow I do wonder whether it was also addressed to those who are going through it, that experience as well. So Riza, when you were listening to the story, did it help in any way in a sense of saying that, I feel good that at least the story is out now, that somebody else can hear it, that I'm not, in this case, the only one going through it? Yeah. How is it for you?
Yes, I feel very good.
Right.
Because anyone can listen and take also the action and help and how to help.
I think Riza has mentioned this to me before. So the story itself, it's not about Riza specifically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can share more about, you shared the piece with your friends also.
I also asked my friends about the video and how it touches them. One friend told me she cried while watching it because it touches her core being, that there are migrant workers in Malaysia who suffer in silence and that most of the time people tend to ignore this suffering.
And just now earlier, she actually mentioned to me that I think one of your friends didn't believe that it was a Malaysian, the person working with you in the video.
Yes.
Really?
Why?
Yes.
Can you elaborate?
Because he's really very... very strong, telling the poetry about this migrant situation and
right.
problems.
I think the point was that maybe in daily situations, people don't get to express their empathy towards other people as often. So it's very common for the people experiencing through it to feel that nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very sure, you know, I have a lot of friends as well. I'm sure a lot of people actually do care, but they just haven't found the correct channel or platform
right.
to show this, right? And I hope that all of us can work together to express this more and to support each other more.
Okay. Are you going to perform it anytime in the future? Not in a video, of course, but on a stage. I think that would be quite interesting. Do you have any plans for that?
At the moment, we don't have any plan for this.
Well, now you have an extension to your bridge project.
we'll think about it. Yeah.
Okay. And what has the general feedback been like for the three of you when you showed, like just now you told me that you showed it to your friends and there were a variety of responses. What about you?
I think we received a lot of positive comments and then appreciation as well because it shows the collaboration between migrant workers and also the local people. As rightly mentioned by Nazrin just now also, people actually don't realize that some people, our local Malaysian also have that empathy.
Mm-hmm.
towards migrants, and mm-hmm. there is no platform for them to express it. So by showing them with this poetry,
mm-hmm.
I think there will be more people will come out with not only talking about it, but taking actions to eliminate forced labor in Malaysia.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about you, Nazrin? How has the feedback been like for you?
Generally positive, but it made people go into a mode of reflection, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more about, oh, like this thing happens in Malaysia, right? And this applies to me, as in how I am behaving relative to this issue, what I'm doing about it has an impact on the problem itself. So whether or not I do something about it has an impact on whether the problem persists or not. Mm-hmm. So like these were little mentions of it. I didn't interview people watching it, so I don't know like the exact in-depth.
Did you show it to your friends, your parents, and go like, what do you think?
So as a quote-unquote artist, I don't like to push things to people so much. I just like put it out there and like do people can do whatever they want with it. Yeah, so I think Riza, like she shared it to a lot of people and got a lot of comments.
If I was not informed about this project, I wouldn't have known it as well. As a matter of fact, this is the first time that Nazrin, like you, that I am meeting you in person, and you are a fellow spoken word poet. We had a very interesting conversation before the recording, and we did talk about how the idea of being a poet and the responsibility of being on the stage. And from what I see, that you do choose your platforms very. Not to say particularly, but you are quite selective in that. Is there a reason behind it?
I think creative outlets are one of the best ways to raise awareness about issues. Relative to things like writing pamphlets, having debates. I think debates, are one of the worst because people come into debates with their own ideas already and defenses are up. When you want people to feel more about an issue, especially when feelings are involved, to empathize more, I think art is one of the best ways because when you listen to a story, when you are experiencing, interacting with art, you tend to open yourself, right, to experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the message can come across to you easier because you're not trying to counter every single thing that comes your way because we all have this, like when we're debating, we want to be right, we want to counter. So to me, as a spoken word artist or someone who does spoken word, I would really like to see more utilizations of this platform to raise awareness about issues because I think it's a great platform that can reach out to so many people. And thanks to Sheena, to BFM, like this is an example of how we can reach out to the masses using spoken word or other creative art forms.
Okay. Like we have actually, I have actually had discussions with several NGOs. The fact that there is an openness to actually use poetry. So I want to know when it comes to ILO, is there any plans in the future to continue utilizing this platform?
Definitely. We are going to use this platform more often. In fact, this video, what we have produced, we share it on the YouTube, we share it on the Instagram, Facebook. And also, we show this video in our meeting with stakeholders, which is really a good platform to sensitize them on this issue. So far, we had about three or four occasions where we showed this video to the policymakers. And we get a very good response from them.
All right. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, coming right after this, we will be playing the spoken word piece Between Two Worlds just for you. So keep on tuning in. This is Speakeasy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Somebody once told me a story about this mother and daughter from a distant land. They could only eat what was in the mother's hand because the father passed away and getting a job for the mother wasn't as easy as they said. In comes the Savior, a man who spoke of greener pastures and the city that never stops building skyscrapers. He tells the mother, "I could get you there for a fee. But the job would be great for you, you will see. Just think about how much better your daughter's life would be." The mother hesitated, but in that place, she could see nothing else. So she started selling the little that she had. When that wasn't enough, she reached out to her younger brother. When that wasn't enough, she went to the moneylender. She even sold the necklace that was passed down to her from her grandmother. Finally,
the man magically reappeared. They were crammed in a van before they were put on a plane heading for the promised land. Touchdown! The buses came, picked them up and brought them to that place. And they saw that they were not alone, no. In that tiny building were many other anxious souls who traveled as many miles as the beads of hope that they shed along their weary journey. 8 weeks passed. 900 ringgit a month she was promised. That promise turned out to be a myth. When she got her salary, it was only 500. Something was amiss. She started asking questions. The manager responded, "We have to deduct 200 for the work permit and another 200 for safekeeping. I know we said 900, but 500 is what you'll get for the first 4 months. It is 11 hours a day, 7 days a week, but you're lucky enough that you have a place to sleep. So stop complaining and just mop and sweep." Their passports were kept, their movements restrained. All this they had to accept. No time to think about the pain. That's a heavy story. Mine is a lot shorter and a lot lighter. Malaysian by birth, I was born in the east, across the sea. A son of the third largest island in the world, now I live in this fast-moving city. You can get anything, anytime, but we too have got problems that run deep. Atrocities that never sleep or take vacations, ever awake like the dreams that we hold for our young nation. We are all equal, but some are born more equal than others. When was the last time that you went to the movie with your friends? Nice. When was the last time that you sat at a cafe with a book to read? Lucky. When was the last time that you traveled 1,000 miles to a university you didn't know didn't exist, then was forced into hard labor just to continue to exist? Couldn't tell your family back home because they paid for your degree, which turned out to be a first degree in trickery by wicked men who engage in bribery and the robbing of liberty. We are all equal, but some are born more equal than others, and it's our choice what we do about this. The mother and daughter from the faraway land, well, that was not the end of their story. One day, they were dropped off to clean a certain man's house. A couple of conversations later, he called up a shelter. Stories too appalling, there was no way he would do nothing. 2 weeks later, they were rescued. 2 months later, an anonymous donor paid for their flight home. That was one person. Imagine what all of us could do together. Look, we don't need to have lived the same exact things to take a stand against the injustice that breeds and all the evil deeds of the people who mistreat their fellow human beings, even though our tongues might not be the same. When we hurt, it's that universal pain. When we're cut, we bleed all the same, and we miss our mothers no matter their names. So please, if you're walking through the streets and see something that isn't right, then speak. And if you're out at work and see somebody not treated right, then speak. And if you feel like you don't know enough to help and make things right, then read, listen. There are those who have been robbed of their power, but you still have yours. There are those who have been robbed of their rights, but you still have your sights. I don't know about you, but I want to live in a country of courage and compassion, where the people stand up for everybody, no matter their flag or religion. A country where we fight for each other so that one day somebody will tell this story about ordinary people in this very land who knew about the people who came from far away in search of a better life and better days, but were treated differently from what they were promised. And in comes the Savior. Ordinary people like you and me, who did not rest until everyone was free.
Hope you enjoyed that piece as much as I did, and equally stirred into finding your own ways to be part of the movement. Now, I wish we have more time, but unfortunately, we are almost at the end of our episode. But before we say goodbye, again, a few questions I would like to ask. Hairuddin, where do we go? I mean, for me, for our listeners, where do they go if they would like to volunteer or to participate or help in any way for the cause?
I think first what they can do is to go to the 50 for Freedom website. The website is 50forfreedom.org.
So 50, the number, yeah?
Yeah, 50, number 50forfreedom.org. And sign up for the call for the government to ratify Protocol 29. I think that is the first step that each citizen of Malaysia should take. They should not think that forced labor is an issue of a migrant communities in Malaysia. But there are also Malaysians who migrated to other countries, find jobs, and some of them may also fall into this forced labor situation. So this is like a call for action for everyone to take action on forced labor.
Right. So, because again, it can be overwhelming to think that you can actually change something overnight. So
yes.
Little step at
yes.
a time. So
yes.
First step, go to the website 50forfreedom.org.
Yes.
Okay. And also there's a hashtag, yeah, for social media?
Hashtag is a hashtag 50,
number
50 and FF.
50FF. Okay,
yes.
Great. What about you, Nazrin?
I think the same way. If you search Nazrin Muhammad's spoken word on YouTube, you can find the other videos I've done there. Feel free to drop a friendly comment, preferably, or constructive comment. Yeah.
Is there any chance that we'll be seeing you on a stage anywhere in KL?
Hopefully, yeah. So I would like to help get the message to more people.
Mm-hmm.
So this piece or any other piece, hopefully, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I like when you say that poetry is one of the best tools out there, not only to empower someone, but also to basically open up the idea of just being, to have empathy in you, to be
yeah.
able to put yourself in someone else's shoes. I think our parents, like even back then for generations, I think that's a key, like golden rule, isn't it? To not do others what others might do to you, or just to be kind to one another. And
yeah.
that's a really good step to doing that. So thank you so much, Hairuddin. Thank you so much, Riza. Thank you so much, Nazrin, for spending the afternoon with us in the studio. We will be back next month with yet another look into all things poetry. If you have any comments, feedback, or topics you would like us to cover on the show, do get in touch with us via the following channels. You can email us at biggerpicture@bfm.my. You can find us on Twitter at BFM Radio, or to me personally at Sheena Din. Or you can find us on Facebook by keying in BFM, The Bigger Picture. Or if you want to see more updates on the Malaysian poetry scene, you can just key in Poetry Cafe KL. If you miss any part of this interview, you can download our podcast on the official BFM app. I am your host, Sheena Baradin, along with my producer, Tina Camellia. And until the next time, this has been Speakeasy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.